Hallelujah. On yesterday, amen, I was so sad that I couldn't be part of Sit and Talk. Amen. So I had to praise my way through. Amen. Sometimes you praise your way through because things are happening bad. Amen. But on yesterday, I was praising my way through. Amen. Because I was so sad that I couldn't be here and be a part of what God had given us. Amen. I was had a challenge in my leg, amen, all the way up to my hip. And so I was just trying to lay around in the bed. But even laying around in the bed, amen, I couldn't just sit there. I couldn't just lay there. Amen. I had to go and do some God's work. Amen. How many times, oftentimes, you try to sit, you try to keep still, you try to keep silent, but sometimes you just got to get up and push your way through and praise your way through and do some God's work. Amen. So I was laying in my bed, and I thank God. I told Pastor yesterday, I said, I thank you for building this smaller section of a house for me, because I don't know what I would do if I had to leave my bedroom and go all the way over to the kitchen. I felt like on the other side of the house, they call the other side of the house the other side. The bigger side of a house is called the other side. And on the other side of the house, it's a little distance from the bedroom to the kitchen. And oftentimes in the middle of the night, amen, now that Taylor is no longer with us, amen, oftentimes in the middle of the night, Pastor has to get up and run and go get me. Well, he doesn't do much running. But Taylor used to run all the way from upstairs, downstairs, amen, just to get me some water, amen, to make it through the night, because the pain would be so, so tremendous. I would scream out, and she would hear my scream, and she would run all the way downstairs, amen, to get me whatever I need, if it was a heating pad or a drink of water or a Tylenol or anything like that. And she wouldn't leave my side until I said, I'm okay, I'm okay. So on yesterday, I was having one of those days, amen, and Pastor wasn't home. He was out here at church, amen, and I was having one of those days, and I said, Lord, I am going to praise my way through this. And I began to lay on the bed and thanking God for even that, the bed, amen, that Pastor, amen, has allowed us to get, amen. It's a Tempur-Pedic mattress, and I don't know if you are know anything about a Tempur-Pedic mattress, but you can get the low, low cost all the way to the bells and the whistles. Amen. And he purchased the bells and the whistles. And so yesterday I had the massager on, and I had the back of the bed raised and the foot of the bed raised. Amen. And the heat on, and amen. And I was just praising my way through. I just knew I was going to have a breakthrough. Amen. And then Pastor Williams came home, and he said, Ma, he said, oh, you got the word. And I was like, I'm sitting here praising my way through. Amen. Through this physical challenge. And now you tell me I need to bring the word. Amen. And I shared with you on last Sunday. Amen. It's been like a little bounce back in our home on the word. Amen. But I thank God on today, because even on last Sunday, I thought maybe I'll do a part two series to the message that I brought. But as I was laying in the bed, the Lord took me back to a conversation that I had with Dr. Saunders. And I said, well, Lord, this is it. This is what you want me to talk about on today. Amen. And a little bit of it in the end, if you can connect the dots, it can connect to the message on last Sunday. Amen. If you remember, if you left out here with the word in your heart, amen. And I'm not talking about this beating thing, but I'm talking about this pumping thing up here. This thing, amen, it allows you to think and move and in God's being, amen. This heart of ours up here, this thinking heart of ours up here, if you can remember God's word and you share that word on last Sunday, amen, and connect the dots on this Sunday, amen, I believe that the word of God, amen, will be a blessing. That the word of God, amen. Somebody say the word of God, amen, will be a blessing, not only to me, but to someone else. Amen. So the conversation that Pastor and I was having, amen, previously, he was talking about the contractor that we hired here to do the work, to do the modifications and everything that we got going on, in particularly the lobby is what we were discussing. And I often ask Pastor, what is the update? What is the status of the contractor and the work that they have to do around here? Amen. I think it looks beautiful. We said that already. Amen. But there's more to come. Amen. If you notice our little television out in our lobby today, how many of you noticed the TV out in the lobby today? Amen. Amen. It's running our announcements. Amen. I thank God for that. Amen. We are coming on up. Amen. It looks sometimes like the rough side of the mountain. Amen. Sometimes based on all that we got to go through to get there, appears to be the rough side of the mountain. Amen. But how many of you know that it is the right side? Amen. If you remember on last week, we talked about the right side. Amen. And so we were talking about that carpenter and the contractor. And Pastor said, well, the building contractor hired another contractor to come in and to install, you know, a cabinet. And when he first thought about the cabinet that we want to put outside, he was thinking about the food that we serve over here in the right-hand corner. He says, I want to just get that out of the sanctuary, and I want to put it in the lobby. Now, I want to have a cabinet in the lobby. And so he had a particular thought in his mind when he said that. He had a particular design in his spirit and in his heart when he said that. And when the building contractor sent the contractor to come out and talk about the cabinet install, the guy began to talk about a cabinet already made. One that you just go pick up from the store, you come and you put it in the corner and you install it. And Pastor came home and he was saying, he said, you know, that's not the type of contractor I was looking for. He said, I was looking to have a carpenter come in and put in the cabinet. There's a difference between going to the store and buying something already made. Y'all not hearing me right now. There's a difference in going places where it's already set up for you. But when you got to go in and design this thing, when you got to go in and use the talent, the skill, and the knowledge that God has given you, then that's something special. And so Pastor was talking about it. He said, I want a carpenter that will come in and be able to put in the corner the design that I have in my mind. And if you are a carpenter, a show enough carpenter, that's what you do. You put together, carpenter already have a plan. They put together a design that's in their mind, and then they put the plan together and they build it with their hands, and whatever their hands touch, the design come forth out of that they saw in their mind. And so Pastor said, what's really talking about is that carpenter that I'm looking for needs to come in. I don't want the regular thing. I don't want the stuff that you see already. I don't want the press wood. I want and I was looking, I was listening to him, and I was like thinking way back to the restaurant that we had in healing time and how it was just empty and we had to go in and build it out. And that sometimes you go in a place and it's just what you want and what you need. But we went into an empty space and we had to get someone to design and build out. Pastor had a particular cabinet that he wanted, a particular cut. And so that when Monique turned around, and that's why we want a special cabinet, because we want Monique to turn around and make those great smoothies. Woo! I'm giving her a hint, y'all, the smoothies, amen, that she made at healing time. So sometimes you got to have a carpenter on site, amen? And so I want to talk today a little bit about the carpenter, but before I go there, I want to read a scripture to set this up, and I want to talk a little bit, not so much about Satan, but about God. Somebody say, about God. About God. So Satan, we know, was thrown out of heaven, and in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, and the 10th verse, it reads, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The accuser has been cast down, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice. Now, this is the good part in verse 12. This is the good part. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And when I got to that part, I got real excited. And I said, God, I can see your vision. I can see where you're taking us. I can see where you want us to be. I can see that you want us to be more like you. And so he said, the woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, not just us that are walking the earth, but everything that's in the sea. Woe unto you, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows, somebody say, he knows that he has a short time, that he has a short time. And we understand that when the devil was cast out of heaven, amen, that he at that moment, he had a choice. I thank God, because we're always given a choice. Sometimes we don't realize that it's choice A or choice B, but we're always given a choice. And Satan refused. He refused God. And he refused God, so God cast him out of heaven. And so right now, Satan is jealous. Somebody say, jealous. He's jealous of you, and he's jealous of me. And he's jealous of all the Christians on earth. And so he wants, this is what Satan wants us, he wants to ensure. See, I said earlier, just a minute ago, that God, Satan refused God. He had a choice. And what he wants to ensure is that we, you and I, if you refuse God today. And we can do that. We can do that. It may be a challenge. It may be something in your life. It may be, and we talked about that on last Sunday, it may be a difficult trial that comes your way that causes you to refuse God. But if it profit you nothing, somebody say, stop it. So it's no wonder why we are chasing after God at times and why we are praising our way through at times, because Satan's opportunity now is to, he's working madly right now, because he was cast out of heaven. And because he's jealous of you and I, he's working feverishly right now to tempt you, to try you, and to block you. And so the Bible talks about Satan's conflict with God and his people throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to start right there. I want to start from the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, you see, Satan was successful, somebody say successful, in leading Adam and Eve to sin. But God intervened, and he brought forth a redemptive act. And because he brought forth that redemptive act, and he promised us something, Satan got a little concerned. He got a little upset. He got a little, I got to go about my business. He said, not God's business, but he got to get on the job now. Because in Genesis 3 and 15, God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So Satan was like, okay, now, God is about to call some stuff up in here now. He's about to put a break, a division between the woman and I. And so, therefore, I need to get busy. I need to work some stuff in somebody's lives. The Bible says that the devil goes to and fro seeking whom he can devour. And I don't know who it is today, but I'm praising. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm praising my way through. See, from the very moment in the beginning of the Garden and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, Satan began working like a madman. He worked on his plans to launch a strike against God by aborting the line through which Jesus, the man child, God came. And I don't know if he's aborting your desires today, if he's aborting your plans today, if he's aborting your actual physical child today. I don't know what he's trying to set up in your life to abort today, but at that very moment in the beginning of Eden, the Garden of Eden, Satan decided, I'm going to abort the man God, the man child. I'm going to cause that victory and redemption act doesn't come forth and that, and we don't get an opportunity to be saved. And so he, Satan, wanted to stop the people of God at the plan of redemption at all costs. He filled Cain with enough hatred to murder his brother Abel. But God raised up self. He led mankind into enough wickedness that God destroyed the world in a flood. But God raised up Noah. But God, I don't know what the Satan has come to do today, but God is raising up. Yeah, woo, my God. He deceived men with false religions that they worship idols and gods of nature. But God raised up Abraham. He caused Pharaoh to issue a boy for all the Hebrew baby boys. But God ended that plan through Pharaoh's own daughter and the cry of the baby Moses. God ended that plan. He tried to kill all babies, but through Pharaoh's daughter, that baby cried out, and yet he was still alive. He tempted Israel into lustfulness before a golden calf, but God raised up the sons of Levi. He bribed the prophet Balaam to curse the nation of Israel, but God took control of Balaam's tongue. He frightened the spies with the giants in the land of Canaan. He frightened them. They went over to spy the land. Y'all know that story, right? I don't got to go into that story. But God raised up Joshua and Caleb, a new generation of people that will worship the Lord. A new, somebody say new, generation. Hallelujah. He tried to starve out the nation through the raids of the Midianites, but God raised up Gideon. Woo. He bowed the stronghold and the strong man Samson with cords of lust that he could not break. And he handed him over to the Philistine to go to prison, but God gave Samson his greatest victory when he repented in his lowest moment. He polluted the priesthood of Israel through the wickedness of Eli's sons, but God raised up Samuel. He snared King Saul with the sin of pride. Now, I'm going through all of this because I want you to know that you're special. I want you to know that Satan comes to tempt and to try, but God will raise you up in your difficult times and your difficult situation, but you gotta praise your way through. So he snared King Saul with the sin of pride, but God raised up the man after his own heart. We know him as what? King David. He caused Queen Ahinoam, the daughter of Queen Jezebel, to kill the remaining members. This part really got to me. He calls the queen, not queen because she was married to the king, but this queen was actually the mother of the king. And the king had a son who had a baby. And so she calls, now the mother calls all of the babies to be killed. She tried to kill, and not try, she killed the remaining members of that royal seed. But God used her brother-in-law. God used her son's brother-in-law. And he was a priest of the queen's son and to hide little Josiah. See, God is always ahead of us. He's always moving forward. We might step backwards, but God is always moving forward. He helped Haman And I know some of you know that story. He helped Haman hatch his plot of genocide against the Jews. But God raised up who? Yes, sir. Who God raised up? When Haman had the thought to build the hanging loose and the bellows or what it gallows and the loose and plan it to kill. Amen. The Bible says there was a woman by the name of Queen Esther that said, if I y'all know that story? Y'all not helping me preach, but God raised up Queen Esther. Satan polluted the lineage of the Messiah, so much so. Now, those are just some of the stories in the Bible where Satan feverishly attacked the people of God, feverishly planned, feverishly had a vision to destroy the lineage of the Messiah. But God cursed King Jeconiah and all his descendants. But it didn't stop there. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter and the 30th verse says, thus said the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper. No man shall sit upon the throne of David. So when God cursed the king Jeconiah, he said, no other man would sit on the throne. No one would no longer rule anymore in Judah. But Jeconiah was the last king in David's lineage. So Satan thought, because God cursed it, Satan, somebody said he thought. He thought that curse will put an end to the plan of redemption. And in the beginning, I told you God promised in Genesis a redemption, man, at all costs, amen? And Satan thought that this was it. I done done all I can, and this is it. This is it. I've killed, and I'm made to kill the line of David. And so the Bible says, but God had a higher purpose. Somebody know today that God has a higher purpose? So we want to talk a little bit about the higher purpose. Can I call him today the carpenter? Can I call him the man that has a design and a plan? That when he put his hands together, that you see come to pass. The man that already knows where you're going and every hair that's on your head. He's got a plan, he's got a design, and he's got a purpose for your life. So I want to talk today about the carpenter. And the carpenter has all kinds, we know, all kinds of tools. See, it's not like the contractor that comes in with a tool belt and he's got a couple of the same stuff. Y'all ever seen a contractor's belt? He's got all kinds of same kind of, what you call those things, flathead and Phillips screw, all that, the same stuff. And finally, on one end of the belt hangs a hammer. But just about everything over here matches. It's the same line of tools until you get over here and all hammer. And maybe over here there is a pencil and a ruler, just in case. Somebody say, just in case he needs it. But the carpenter has all kinds of tools and everything that he needs. If you look in the basket, if you look in the little picture there, he got all kinds of tools. Not only does he have the pencil, but he got a little tape thing measure. God knows just what he needs for your life. But Jesus is the legal, but not the literal son of Joseph. We know that. We know that Mary, it didn't take Mary and Joseph to have Jesus. So Jesus is legal, the rightful heir. He's the rightful child to Mary and Joseph, but he's not literally the son of Joseph. Amen? Amen. what happened when Jesus came is he provided a miraculous answer to everything that Satan had tried to bring forth. And he was the only one, Jesus, who could have possibly filled the role of the Messiah. And I read earlier that the Messiah comes. Galatians 4, fourth chapter, the 4th through the 5th verse in the King James Version says this. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's why we say you could be born into the family of God. Because Jesus being saved and being adopted by God, you then become joint heirs to Jesus Christ. And so the book of Mark tells us the 6th chapter and the 2nd verse and the 3rd verse, and the easy read version of this says, on the 7th day, Jesus taught in the synagogue, and many people heard him, and they were amazed and said, where did this man get his teachings? How did he get such wisdom? And who gave it to him? And where did he get the power to do miracles? Amen. Who is this carpenter's son born of a woman? And the 3rd verse says, isn't he just the carpenter we know? Isn't he just the carpenter we know? Isn't she just the daughter of Susan? Isn't she just the niece of Jeffrey? Isn't she just, or he's just, and pastor preached that message, who says you are just? I kind of put it in my own words, but you're not just. You're not just. But they said, isn't he just? Haven't we realized today of all the things that Satan tried in our lives and we're still here, that we're not just? We're not just so-and-so. That's what pastor said. You're not just so-and-so. You are joint heir. You are rightfully adopted into the family of God. So the Bible says, isn't he just the comforter we know, which is Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And don't his sisters still live here in town? So they had a problem. They got a problem. Your neighbors got a problem. Your family members got a problem. Your aunt got a problem. Your uncle got a problem. Your mama got a problem. Your daddy got a problem. They had a problem accepting Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to have a problem accepting you. When you go about God's business, somebody is going to have a problem. Divinity left. And if you ain't caught on to this message by now, you're about to close it. Divinity left his golden home and his golden throne and his room in heaven in favor of a dirty stall and with the sheep. He left. He left comfort. I had to get up out of my bed and I had to cut on my TV, but I didn't cut on the TV to watch news or to watch a movie or to watch a game. I cut on my TV to cut on my PowerPoint to do the presentation. I had to leave the Missionary Hemingway said, my comfort zone. I had to forget about my pains on my left side, and I had to push my way through. So while I was laying there with my Tempur-Pedic mattress going on and raising me up and raising me down, I was still pushing my way through, and I was leaving my comfort zone to get into the presence of God. And as I began to get into the presence of God and type the PowerPoint presentation, the message began to just shower over me, and I began to think about all that God has done in my life, all the challenges that I had, the time when I was on a cane, the time when I was on a walker, the time when I couldn't walk, the time when I couldn't preach, the time when I couldn't sing. I began to think about all that, all those challenges that the enemy had thrown my way. But I said, not today. Somebody said, not today, Satan. And I told my son, the PowerPoint wouldn't work. I called Pastor into my bedroom, and he stood there for about 20 minutes trying to analyze my problem. And together, two hands together, sometimes not even good. Only takes one, Jesus Christ. But two hands together was trying to work out the problem, and we couldn't solve the problem, and my PowerPoint wouldn't activate, and I finally got up out of the, whoa, I finally got up out of the bed. I got up out of the bed. I got up out of my circumstance. I got up out of my situation. I got up out of my problem. I got up out of my trial. Woo! God Almighty, I got up out of whatever that was trying to hold me back, and I stepped on the side of the bed. God of mine, I'm telling you, divinity stepped out of the throne room of heaven. Yes, sir. Whew. And he came down to earth to lay in a stinky old sheep stall. And as I got up out of my situation and I started to head towards the bedroom, but I stopped in the middle of my track and I said, oh, Satan, get demon. I started to say, get under my feet, but I felt like he was all over me, so I said, get behind me, get behind me. And I turned around, and I hopped back onto the bed, and I hit a few buttons, and bam! Whew.
That's right.
All we got to do is call on his name. All we got to do is call on his name. I hit a few buttons. I don't even know why it happened, but I know who made it happen. Sometimes you don't know why it's going that way, why it's going this way. But God, you got to know that God's hands are all in the plan.
That's right.
Amen. It was born of a woman.
Yes.
Stepped out of heaven.
Yes.
To be born of a woman. Jesus traded the robes of eternity for rags which wrapped his tiny body. And he was a carpenter. And the Bible says by trade. And when I got to thinking about that, I said, God, that's not a coincidence. And see, the head of his household was a carpenter. So whatever you're doing is not a coincidence. Sometimes you got to get under that same spirit, that same magnitude, that same power. Somebody say, same power. Hallelujah. He was in the house under that he became. He was in the house under that he became. If you're not where you want to be, if you're not where you should be, you need to get under the power of that who you want to become.
That's right.
He grew in a house whose head of the house was a carpenter. He picked up tools and he made things. And Jesus learned a craft and worked just like you and just like me and just like all the others in the community. He didn't say, okay, this job is too much. Okay, I got to go to work now. But Susan is going to work it. Joseph is going to work it. And Mary is going to work. I'm going to go to work too. So in the Lord's house, if you see me doing something, you ought to be doing. If you see me clapping, you ought to be clapping. If you see me praising, you ought to be praising.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Jesus could have worked in any position, in any career, in any occupation, such as a physician or a priest or a scholar or a soldier or a fisherman or a shepherd or even as an earthly king, which he was. He could have came down just as the earthly king, but he chose. Somebody say he chose. To be a carpenter. Carpenters make things of utility and things of value. He does the work with the object in his hand, and it yields to his design. He does the work with the object in his hands, and it yields his design. He does the work. You got to do the work. And it will come to pass. The carpenter are builders. Carpenters are builders. Jesus Christ is a builder. Jesus builds in the natural. For by him were all things. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Jesus builds in the natural and the supernatural. All things that are in earth, visible and invisible. The material, the supernatural, in the material and the spiritual. Visible and invisible, the spiritual. Whether they be thrones, dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Whether it's dominions, principalities or powers, these things that come up against you, know that all things were created by him and for him. You were created by God and for God. And he is before all things. God the Father and Jesus the Son is before all things. If we can just get that part right, if we can just get that, young people, part right when you go back to school and realize that he is before all things, is not the cute little boy sitting in the school chair next to you. It's not the girlfriend down the hall who promised you, girl, you know, hang with me, well, I'm gonna get you through. It's not those people. It's not those people. You're not in church by chance. You're not in church just because mama says come, daddy says come. It's not by chance. God knows and he ordains, he orchestrates all things because it was created by him and for him. They're coming out with bell bottom pants. I think y'all saw me wearing my bell bottoms. That stuff was back. That stuff. Things go around, people come around, and it comes right back. Let's tell you something, give you some instructions. It ain't because we try to get all on you, it's because we there. And we're trying to get you. We're trying to get you to understand that you don't have to follow the path that Satan is leading you. We're trying to get you to recognize that God is your keeper, he's your healer, he's your orchestrator, he's your musician, he's the lyrics on the paper. Not the poem the boys whispering in your ear, but God is the lyrics on paper. Hallelujah. And by him all things consist. In other words, what Jesus creates, he sustains. If he made you, he will keep you. What Jesus creates, he sustains. In him all things hold together. It may look like it's coming apart. It may look like it's pulling against the seams because something is too tight. But Jesus holds all. All. All things. Oh, that made me feel like I could run around this church right now. That he holds all things together. I'm going to say it again. It may look like it's coming apart. But the comforter is pulling out the right tool to nail it shut and put it back together again. So let's get it together. Let's get it together, people. Let's get it together. Because Jesus is building you. He's building me. And every other person that is listening to me today, he's building us. And we are in his hands. And we are under his construction. And it takes a little time to get it for us, not him, because he's the comforter. He has the design, he has the plan, but it takes us a little bit of time to allow him to put it all together again. His plans is to make us more. Everything happened more like him. Everything that's happened is because of his plan. Everything that's happening and will happen in school, when you go back to school, it's because of God's plan. I'm excited to know that I am wonderfully made. And I may not look perfect. I may not be perfect, but I'm striving. You know, people, when you come, we ask Dr. Solomon will come forward. Yes. That we will pray. Yes. Yes. Over you before you enter into the devil's pen. Young people, and if you're watching us online, we want to pray for you too. Yes. If you got children and they're sitting on the couch beside you, or they're in the bedrooms, or out in the yard and playing, and you said, okay, this somebody anointed and somebody that wants to bring down heaven is about to pray for the people, the young people at New GWC. And I want to get in on the prayer. I want to get in on the prayer. And look, we're praying for the young people, but if you want to get in on the prayer, if you want the anointing of the Lord to cover you as Satan goes to and fro, you can get in the line too. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.